Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. Sorry for the delay tonight, but no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is just for you. Relax, take a deep breath. Breathe in your aliveness. Then let your breath out and release your stress. Breathe in love and release your breath in gratitude. How has your week been? It's been pretty major for a lot of people in a lot of ways. So, want to let you know that this is Global Family Live. My name is Kay Snow Davis, your host for this 1 hour. Our call-in numbers in the U.S., 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-815-0756. And everywhere else in the world, a direct line to BBS Internet Radio at 530-876-3222. So let's take a pulse on life and what's been happening since we were together last week. And we know a lot of things happening with Mother Earth. A lot of things happening with Mother Earth. Now, one of the things the scientists have been reporting, as these solar flares increase in size and proximity to the Earth, they are influencing the electromagnetic field. They're also influencing the atmospheric pressure, which the scientists then are reporting is going to affect our electronics. It's also affecting our weather. It's affecting our storms. And in about the last 6 to 8 months, they've also been actually reporting that it's affecting the human behavior as well. Now, how this actually happens with it affecting the human behavior is that our body is an electromagnetic field as well. We're aligned with this planet Earth. Our head is the same as the North Pole, our feet the same as the South Pole, and our waist the same as the equator. Now, for any of you that are familiar with the dance of hula, that in the dance of hula, where the hands are placed will give you that information of what part of the hemisphere, what part of life is actually being referenced. So the electromagnetic field on this earth and the electromagnetic field in our body are a resonant harmonic field. And if anything emotionally or biochemically, mentally distresses our physical body, the electromagnetic field does what's called a reversal. Now, what this means, a reversal in your electromagnetic field in your body, means that when you walk and talk and eat, your energetic battery in your body runs down. If your electromagnetic field is reversed, if your electromagnetic field is in resonance with the planet when you eat, when you walk, and when you talk, then your body is actually regenerated by that movement. Now, there's a couple of things that you can check to make sure that you are balanced, that your energy is balanced. Now, let me tell you just a couple of things that you might notice first to indicate you might not be balanced. You might notice if you're walking by a chair, getting up from a chair, walking through a doorway, if you don't judge your spatial conditions appropriately, and if you bump your knee on the chair, you bump your shoulder on the door jamb, this is a pretty good clue that you might be reversed, because when your energy field is balanced, then spatially, you will most of the time, unless space is too small or you get bumped, manage your movement around stationary objects. So that's one clue. Another one is if your eyes feel blurry. That can be from dehydration, or that can actually be from your electromagnetic field being reversed. Another one is if you're reversing numbers or words, that can also be an indicator. So you want to drink some water. And then there's a couple of very simple ways to help your body come back into resonance. You take all of your fingers on one hand, put all of your fingertips together. This is like if you were holding a flower. In Hula, this is a symbol for the flower. Place those fingertips 2 inches above your belly button. So it's kind of right in your solar plexus area. And just hold them there and take some deep breaths. Now, if your vision's blurry and it clears up, this is a good indication that you might have been reversed. It's also important to drink some water. Now, for any reason, that doesn't seem to do it. Let's try this method where place your hands out in front of you, palms up. Now, leave one with the palm facing the ceiling. Turn the other one perpendicular so the fingers face the ceiling. Now, right at that midpoint between the base of your little finger and your wrist, halfway in between there, on both hands, do what's called the karate chop. Now, there's 3 different meridians that go through this area. So just tap those firmly for quite a little bit and see if you notice a difference. Now, drink a little bit more water. Now, if you feel like you might have been reversed from a shocking or a fearful condition, besides these 2 methods, there's one other place on your body that will help you a lot to release the additional cortisol. Find this soft place in your throat and then go right to your collarbone on each side. Come down 2 inches. And then go out towards your shoulders 2 inches. This is a K27, the kidney meridian ends here. And if you massage it and you notice it's a little bit sore, then that's the indicator that your kidneys might need a little assistance. Just massaging this point will provide some assistance for your kidneys. Your kidneys can then become more balanced in the adrenals, and it will lower your anxiety level. It will lower the cortisol. Cortisol is one of the most toxic of all chemicals in our body if it isn't used for physical activity. Now, just think about the number of times in this very day. Just review this day and check it out and see, how many times today did you feel anxious? How many times today did you feel distressed? How many times today did you feel angry? How many times today did you feel your energy rise in your body as if you needed to move or you needed to take action? Chances are, in any one of those conditions or all of them, that your body is in response to the adrenals. Now, in lowering the adrenal and the cortisol level, it's going to help your stress a lot. Hold on a moment here. Do we have a caller online?
Aloha, Kay. This is Sharon.
Aloha.
I did not forget. We've got an incredibly static connection that
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me explain here what's happening. You know, tonight we're talking about guidelines for recovery from trauma and disasters. Well, our guest, Sharon Tomas, lives on the island of Kauai. And part of what's been happening this week was Hurricane Flossie came over and close to the islands, and then they've had a lot of rain. Now, since Kauai is our wettest island, when we get rain, it influences our phone service, it influences our computers, it influences so many electronic things. So she called in, but as you can tell, she blipped out there, so we may have to continue with her next week. But I wanted us to be able to go over some of the things that are guidelines for recovery from trauma and disasters, because so many are happening on the planet right now. Now, we've just had this incredibly severe 8-point disaster earthquake in Peru. Many, many people challenged, full cities destroyed and damaged. We have Hurricane Dean that's passed through Jamaica in a Category 5, which is what we had on Kauai in September 11th of 1992. Now, Category 5 means that the winds are at least 150 miles an hour. In our hurricane in 1992, they were actually 167 miles an hour to 225 during the 5 hours that the hurricane was over the island of Kauai. Now, Hurricane Dean is also heading towards Texas and the Gulf of Mexico. So, aloha.
Aloha, Kenneth. This is just such a bad line.
Yeah. I'm so sorry for this to be happening for you tonight, but let's go ahead with what we're focusing on here is the guidelines and what you can actually do in relationship to trauma. Now, what I would like to differentiate here about trauma and crisis, they influence our life and our body in different ways. Now, when we were talking about the guidelines and what you use to help your body manage your balance and make sure your nervous system is aligned. When your nervous system is aligned with this planet, your cognitive abilities, your emotional balance, your hormonal, enzymatic, and biochemical balance will be much, much more stable. A reversal can come and be caused by shock or trauma. It can come and be caused by an emotional distress. It can be caused by toxicity in the air or in your food. Some of you who are very sensitive, I want you to pay attention when you go in the grocery store and walk down the aisle where even the laundry compounds are. If you notice that you feel differently, then do some of the clearing techniques that we just talked about, because that aisle has so many chemicals in it. And if your body's sensitive, it's going to feel that and pick it up. So first of all, I want you to know nothing is wrong with you. It's not a big crisis or a big disaster if your body reverses in the electromagnetic field. It is common and it will happen. As long as you know your signals then you know how to get yourself balanced again. Now remember, one of the most important things to help your body stay balanced is hydration. We just have no idea the stress that it puts on every cell in our body not to have enough fluid. All of our nutrients and all of the enzymes and the hormones and the biochemical responses in our body need fluid in order to be transported through 76 trillion cells. The electromagnetic messages and movement from the brain needs the fluid in order for the messages to move without static throughout our system and help keep all of our organ systems in a coherent field, which means that then they are in balance and they have harmony. So hydration is incredibly important, and the report is that by the time that you actually feel thirsty, you're dehydrated. Now, let's also look at the aspect for your kidneys, for the balance in your kidneys. Your whole body appreciates water on a continual basis. So taking a camel drink or an elephant drink every hour or every 2 hours will get fluid into your system, but it really overloads your kidneys. So for the balance for your whole body, it's much better if you just drink smaller amounts and drink them on more of a regular basis, then you keep the fluids at a better level. This is a really good support for your cellular system and your neurological system not to be traumatized by so many outer conditions. Now, as we've talked about before, you know when we say aloha, well, alo means universal breath, and ha, or universal space, pardon me, and ha is the breath. So breathing in the breath, breathing in the oxygen, water and breath, absolutely essential for our body to live. We can go for a few days without food, minutes, seconds without breath, and less time than food to go without water. So remember, what does it take for your body to stay alive? That's what you need to focus on when you want to feel alive, be alive, and provide aliveness for your systems and your cells. So when we return to the basics, these are good guidelines for us. Now, let's talk a little bit about the difference between crisis and disaster. Now, we can experience trauma out of a crisis or out of a disaster. One of the key differentiating factors about the influence of what we call trauma is the more life-threatening a condition seems or feels or appears to you as an individual, the more direct the input and the influence right into your neurological system. Now, the impact comes from the level of emotional trauma or shock at the time of the incident and the actual fear for your life. So when that combination hits the nervous system, it actually is like a speed bump in the road. It creates an energetic speed bump that will cause you to react or stay in reaction. Now, after Hurricane Iniki, because it was such a severe storm and lasted for a very long time, 5 hours is a very long time when the speed of the wind is so intense. What happens to the nervous system? The adrenaline comes in and, of course, shoots up to help everyone's energy stay more alert and respond to the condition at hand. When the adrenaline stays elevated for a certain length of time, it notifies the nervous system, red alert. So the nervous system accommodates that red alert and stays on high attention, or it can be called hypervigilant, where the nervous system doesn't feel safe to relax because the conditions are not abating, they're not leaving. Dependent upon how long the nervous system has to endure or experience that level of biochemical influence and stretch, the stretch in the nervous system, that will determine how much trauma your neurological system experiences, how many speed bumps get created on your neural pathways by the trauma. Now, let's look at this thing about trauma. It isn't just from disasters. Trauma doesn't come just from disasters. You know, we're very much more aware now after Vietnam about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So when you think about not only hours, but days and sometimes years that our service people are enduring life-threatening conditions, is it any wonder that they come home and they just can't find their way? They can't fit into normal society? Now, the trauma specialist that trained us for our work after Hurricane Iniki said that under the traumatic stress of disasters, it will take anywhere from 18 months to 24 months for your nervous system to return to any condition that we would call normal. Now, normal is within a range. Normal is not static or straight line. We know straight line in our electromagnetic field in our body means dead. So within a range. So if you look at like a wave and know that as the wave is moving, so that's the natural normal place for our emotions to move. Soft edges, drops down, moves up, soft edges, drops down, moves up. So that's the symbol of the motion, very similar to the waves. Now, if the edges of our emotions spike, go way high, and then way low, and then way high, and then way low, which is not uncommon in a traumatic condition or situation. So now let's look at the possibility of your having experienced abuse in your home as a child or alcoholic behavior, which is very erratic. That can cause your emotional body to have a lot of highs and a lot of lows because the environmental conditions are not stabilized. The environmental conditions are constantly changing, maybe erratically changing, maybe changing at such a rate that there is no way to feel safe. So it's like, you know, when your nervous system, your whole body's just waiting for the next shoe to drop. When that condition is present with your life, with what you're dealing with, then your nervous system is going to be traumatized. One of the ways that we can tell if we've been traumatized in our developmental stages, from whether that's from infancy or on through our teenage years, there are points, you know, where we can remember if we've been traumatized. There's possibilities in our infancy and sometimes up 3 and 5 years old that we may have no memory of these experiences that have actually been recorded in our neurological system. The way that you can tell is when you notice that certain sounds or certain words or certain behavior around you, it could even be music, can be many things that you received through your senses as an infant, got registered in your neural pathway, and made those speed bumps. Those are impressions in your neural pathway. Now, as early as 5.5 months in the womb, this begins to occur because your mother's womb is your first environment. Your next environment is after you come through the birth canal or a C-section and out into this big world of bright lights, lots of noise, different energy, different people, different temperature. So can you see how even the experience of birth itself could get registered in the nervous system as trauma? That's one of the reasons that brand new babies love to be swaddled, wrapped tightly in their blanket, love to be held close to their mom's heart. That's why nursing a child is so beneficial, because that heartbeat and nursing the child and that comfort can help reduce and release even birth trauma. So as you continue to grow through life, each and every one of us has some kind of imprints in our nervous system that have caused us to feel unsafe and thus create what's called reactionary behavior. So as you grow in age, in size, and in experience, you might begin to notice that there are certain things that just really cause you to feel angry, or certain things that really cause you to feel frustrated, or certain things that really cause you to feel fearful or sad or resentful or jealous or resistant. If you begin to notice those reactions and claim them as messengers, don't get caught in the condition that's happening around you as much as pay attention to your energy. Pay attention to your emotions. Register what's going on inside of you and begin to notice what triggers this feeling. How often does this happen? Once you begin to register your own triggers and your own messengers based on your energy and your reaction to life conditions or a person's voice or an experience or sometimes even your own thoughts, what you can recognize, you can direct. When your conscious mind becomes aware of a condition, 50% of your healing is done. The other 50% then can be supported by what you choose to do to help release the rest of the trauma. Now, the conditions that we talked about at the beginning of our time together here, in making sure that your body isn't reversed, when you go through those patterns of reaction, when you go through those experiences where you're beginning to notice your triggers, those are excellent places. Take some deep breaths. Drink some water and use the techniques of making sure you're not reversed, because you can keep your energy moving and help clear those conditions. So that's fingers 2 inches above the belly button, or the karate chop, or those massage points up there on your collarbone. Now let's add another piece. Start from the center of your forehead and go out to the temples. This will help take out the additional emotional trauma and reaction. And as you're doing that, you can say, I release any energy that darkens my own light. I release any energy that darkens my own light. I release any energy that darkens my own light. Now, again, let's go find that soft spot in your throat. Now go down on your breastbone, heart level, right there, and tap on that breastbone. Right underneath that breastbone is a little gland called the thymus. From the time we're born until we're about 2, that little gland is proportionately regulated and normal for our size. Somehow, our body keeps growing, and that little gland doesn't grow as much. So when you tap on that little gland, you actually help strengthen it, and at the same time you tap on that little gland, you influence the pituitary. The pituitary is part of what helps regulate the brain's communication to all the organ systems. So when you tap on that breastbone, right on that thymus, it's really good to say, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe. I am safe, I am safe. You can also add, I deeply love and appreciate myself. I deeply love and appreciate myself. You can use almost any positive affirmation you want when you are tapping on your breastbone. The one thing I want to tell you when you're using affirmations, do not include the word not. Your subconscious does not pick up N-O-T. And so if you would tap on your breastbone and say, I do not want to be heavy. I do not want this extra weight. I don't want to be fat. Then it goes in minus the not. So you always make your statement, I am safe. And that's the most powerful way, if you say, I am, and claim what it is you want. Anything coming after I am then is an affirmative, accountable, responsible statement of claiming exactly what you want after that, which will strengthen your body. Now, I want to just mention here at this point for anybody who has joined us, sorry that our special guest, Sharon Tomas, was not able to join us here on Global Family Live tonight because Kauai is having a lot of water and a lot of rain, which knocked out her phone service. So I'm filling in, talking about guidelines for trauma and disaster and crisis and how we can work with this. We'll talk a little bit more about how to recover after some of the disasters. Right now we've been talking about how can we maintain balance and keep our own body from being reversed, our electromagnetic field from being interrupted. So let's continue now with the awareness of how you can take the energy, the emotions that move through your body regardless of whether they feel good or not, they are energy and power. When you can feel safe with your anger as much as you can feel safe with your love, when you can feel safe with your resistance as much as you feel safe with your compassion, then you have begun to have a relationship with your own emotional body, and therefore what you can feel, you can heal. What you can recognize, you can direct. Relating with your energy in your body is the most conscious, fulfilling relationship you can have on this planet. And since you live with you 24/7, you don't have to wonder, where are you? You are with you all the time, or you're not. If you're not with you mentally and paying attention to your body and paying attention to your emotions, where are you? Who is managing your thinking? Who's managing the energy of your emotions? Emotions, energy in motion. So it's a very important thing for you to recognize, if you're not in the driver's seat of your body vehicle and your conscious thinking, who is? Who's taken over? How are you neglecting yourself by not paying attention? So this is a primary piece to practice every day in your life before you ever enter these conditions called crisis or disaster where trauma can occur. The more prepared and balanced you are by having a real, live, everyday relationship with your thinking, with your beliefs, with your attitude, and your emotions, the more prepared you are to meet any condition in your life, regardless of whether it's one of ecstasy or one of despair. In a crisis condition and situation in our life, a crisis is like when you take an egg and drop it on the floor. It falls apart and it becomes in many different pieces. Crisis introduces into our life a transformation in our life conditions. And no matter what, after a crisis, whether it's an extreme crisis, a large crisis, or a small crisis, we're not going to put our life back together in the same way. You don't put an egg back together. And it doesn't mean you're smashed. It just simply means you're going to put yourself back together in a different way. Now, an amazing thing about most crises, because they disorient us and they shock us and they rearrange our sense of order or our habits, within 16 to 48 hours, your systems in your body will come back into a more coherent, resonant field. Even if you do nothing. Now, because in a crisis you have an extended amount of adrenaline that usually comes right in, and you could have an extended amount of grief. So it could be an extended amount of many biochemical responses. And whatever that condition, it will support your body to cope with the condition in the very best way that your higher regulatory system knows how to do, which means the limbic part of the brain is the master to preserve your life. That part will take over no matter what your mind is thinking or no matter what your emotions are feeling, because it is here to make sure that under all conditions that are possible to maintain life in this body, that's going to happen. Your breathing will keep going. So in a crisis condition, based on the severity of it, the shock of it, the trauma of it, within 16 to 48 hours, you will begin to recalibrate. Now, let's talk about that. Within 16 to 48 hours, that means that the biochemical response in your body is going to seek its natural balanced state within your body. Now, when that occurs, the biochemical response that has happened that might have put you in what we call shock, which is a buffer zone. It's a buffer zone to help your physical body manage the condition that you're going through without being so biochemically overwhelmed that you just can't live through it. So it's a regulating system. Shock is a regulating system. Now, 16 to 48 hours when you're coming out of that shock, you might notice that you're feeling way more emotional than you were in that 16 to 48 hours. That's not unnatural. You might also register if your crisis has been an accident or been something where your physical body has been impacted. Not only the emotions, but you might notice that the physical stress or trauma or pain is even greater. Have you heard that proclamation, you know, for people who have surgery, that the third day is the worst? Well, if you calculate 16 to 48 hours, you're going into that third day. So the same thing is happening if whether you've been in surgery or not, which, you know, for your body, surgery is a crisis also, even though it's, you know, orchestrated and managed, it still is a crisis for your body because it's not natural. We're not designed to be cut on. And sometimes that's a life-saving experience, even though it does generate crisis. So your body has an incredible ability to find its balance, no matter how severe the conditions, if given the support that it needs. So after a crisis, give your body and your mind and your emotions time to find their balance again. And your body and your mind and your emotions each has a different vibrational rate. So give yourself time. Now, remember we spoke a little bit earlier about in a disaster. So if it would be like in the Peru disaster or what went on at Katrina or the Indonesia tsunami or Hurricane Dean happening right now, after those disasters change, now one thing with the wind, if it's hurricane and rain, that ends usually faster than the earthquake conditions that are shocking your body, because with the earthquake, of course, is the aftershocks. Now, of course, the continued shock, no matter what disaster, is what your eyes see, that it has so destroyed and damaged your visual sense of order, your visual vision of order, your visual support from whatever was familiar. It might be completely gone. So after a disaster, even though your body has carried you through and you've lived through it, you're being re-traumatized visually. Even if you're not in earthquake aftershocks, in a hurricane or the severe flooding, you're being re-traumatized visually. And what happens is the eyes really don't see. They receive the light that is then received in the limbic part of the brain. And the limbic part of the brain activates through different glands and chemicals the response biochemically in the body. so one of the things that happens after a disaster of any magnitude where several people are involved, it's very, very helpful to keep talking about your experience. So you will notice people who have been in a natural disaster that they talk about it, and they have this story and they have that story. And it isn't like they're replaying this for their entertainment. This is actually part of the process of releasing such traumatic conditions that they were so shocking that even speaking about this. Now, what happened for us on Kauai, of course, we had no phones, we had no electricity, we didn't have food because the grocery stores, all kinds of things. So we had to stand in line a lot. We had to stand in line to get ice. We had to stand in line at the phone bank. We had to stand in line at the parks when the Salvation Army brought food. So we had a lot of opportunity to stand in line with each other. So there was a lot of conversation of how's your family and what happened. And so there were multiple opportunities to talk about the conditions that we had been through, what was happening now, and a lot of compassion was a mutually shared experience. It's really, really hard to go through a disaster and not have people around you who have any idea what your experience is. So our displaced people from Katrina are being re-traumatized because everything that was familiar is gone, and many of them have been relocated and are still in extreme trauma because they don't have anybody to talk to who understands what they've been through. Trauma influences the speed bumps in the neural pathways. And remember, it takes 18 to 24 months, not days and not hours, months, before the nervous system begins to return to any normalcy. The more aftershock experiences from an earthquake or the more visual trauma from the disaster or our displaced families from Katrina, they keep being traumatized. Now remember, this happens to the animals as well as the people. It's not just the people, it's our animals also that go through these. Now, you know, if they have a chance, the animals, the wild animals, of course, they feel these things coming and they will find their safest place. We don't have the opportunity to do that as people because in many cases we've lost our sense of connection to the earth and to nature. So our body is designed to recover. Our body is designed to regain balance. Our body is designed to promote wellness. Our part as a conscious participant in our body is to be as much support as you possibly can to provide the environment inside and out, whether that's your food or sleeping or water or breathing, or whether it's outside, to be as kind and gentle and loving as you can be on yourself when you have gone through a crisis, when you've gone through a disaster, when you've gone through any condition, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, the loss of a cherished job or cherished relationship. Loss can generate a feeling that your life is over. And in many ways, as you've known it to be, that's true. And if you're still breathing, your life is not over. You have new life coming in with every breath to renew you, to return your body to a place of balance and wellness and harmony. And the more that you consciously participate as a partner in that process, the sooner and easier that your body can find its normalcy and its balance. Now, I want to say this one thing that's so particularly important. After my experience of being a supervisor for the emotional recovery for the east side of the island on Kauai, which had the largest population, when I debriefed one family of eight who had gone through this disaster, and we had in that one family all the way from a five-year-old up to 70. Now, there's a couple of things that were so clear to me. That, number one, these eight people had all been in the same home, in the same hurricane, going through the same disaster, and not one person debriefed or reported the same experience. It's really important for you to trust however you experienced the trauma, however you experienced the crisis, whatever you remember about it is absolutely true and real for you, regardless if anyone else in your family or the condition or the situation saw it, felt it, or experienced it that way. Trust your experience. It's valid. Now, the other thing, please, please do not expect yourself to recover like anybody else. You're totally unique. No one else has your DNA. No one else has your fingerprints. You are going to recover from your crisis, from your disaster, from this trauma in exactly the appropriate timing, in exactly the appropriate way, if you are in partnership with your body and creating the healthiest conditions you know how. And you might want to seek professional help, friends, neighbors, whatever you know is going to make your recovery healthier and more balanced for you. Please trust that your recovery is perfect for you. There's nothing wrong with you. If 3 years down the road, you still have reactions to conditions. If it was the wind and the wind makes a certain sound, 7 and 8 years after Hurricane Iniki, I'd hear certain sounds and I could feel my whole body just go on red alert, red flag. Then I could breathe right straight through it and manage it, lower it. It wasn't. But it was that sense that now you have another experience you never had before. Experience provides the opportunity for us to recognize how to participate in a condition each time in the healthiest, best way we can. I'm so happy that we've had this time together tonight, and I'm sorry that nature intervened here. And I'll see if Sharon, Tomas, and if our weather and nature will provide the opportunity for us to hear her experiences, her expertise, at another time. I'd like to tell you that if you would like to either go to my website, which is www.globalfamilyeducation.com, or take down this number. This is for a free teleconference call that gives you an overview on my material in Point of Power, my material in Wheel of Life, Cycles. These are my two books that are published right now, which you can get on Amazon.com or on that website. And then also on this free teleconference call, a CD that I have on generational cycles. These are tools that help you have a greater understanding of your naturalness, who you are, and how you can strengthen yourself while you're not in crisis. So when crisis, disaster, or trauma enters your life, as it does seem to happen for all of us in this human experience, you're better prepared. I hope your week is wonderful. I thank you for your time, for your participation, and for your presence on this planet. And so we close with Ano Ai, Ko Alahele, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again. Aloha.